It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson, and we're going to have important conversations about things that affect your life. So it's great to have you here. Happy Monday. I know this is your favorite day of the year, Steve, or favorite day of the week, Steve. How's that? It's a Monday.
You have to drag this out every week, don't you?
I do.
Okay.
I do. So
you morning person, you.
Well, we've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be going through some headlines, and we will be talking with Dr. Laura. She has a new book out. She has not written a book for 10 years, and so it's time. It's called Love and Life, and it's going to be a great conversation. Things that we care about, and you know, as you know, people living our lives every day, whether or not it's your mom, dad, wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, grandparent, whatever it is. And so that's going to be a great conversation there. Before we jump into all of this, though, I so appreciate you, our listeners, keeping us on the straight and narrow here. On Friday morning, we were talking about that the next, that Pearl Harbor Day was going to be on the weekend. And I had quoted, and I said it was FDR, and it wasn't. It was Yamamoto, who was one of the Japanese leaders. He was the one that said, "I fear we've awakened a sleeping giant." And so that was not FDR. I appreciate you, Christy, keeping me on the straight and narrow, because it's important that we, even though we have opinion, we are always searching for truth. And when we get something that's not correct, we really appreciate you letting us know. One other note, if I refer to them today, I'm not sure we will, but when I say PBIs, that stands for politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. And when I say TABOR, that is in reference to Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. And so anyway, just wanted to make sure that we have all that out there as well. When we look at these issues, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a really good idea, you don't need to force people to do that. Socialism ultimately comes down to force, and we're seeing that all over the place in these headlines today. One of them that jumps out at me is that Governor Polis, let me see if I can find that right now, Governor Polis wants to have a greater say over hospital prices for more than 1 million Coloradans. And just remember, when government gets involved, the price goes up, the supply goes down, and the quality suffers. And so when you see government getting in control of these things, you see them use words like regulate, mandate. Those are code words for force. And we need to continue to work towards freedom, because we are Americans, and freedom is what we were founded on. So want to say thank you to the team, to Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and Steve, for all your support and your good work. And thank you to each of you listeners. You each are treasured. You're valued. Strive for excellence today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And many of you said, hey, where are the podcasts? And so Zach and I have continued to, you know, when we did the rebrand, there's a whole lot of moving parts to make that happen. And so we now have, there is a spot there that you can click on the podcast on the website. Hopefully it's clearer, easier, because I know that many of you, sometimes you don't get up this early in the morning, you have other things going on, and you want to hear the show, and that's a good way to do that. Okay, our inspiration for today, since we're having Dr. Laura on, and Steve, you actually chose this one. I think you chose this one. And Dr. Laura said, "The people and circumstances around me do not make me what I am. They reveal who I am." Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I think, yes, that one jumped out at me. So I made the suggestion that you use it, and you did. So, yes, because that's truth.
It is truth. And actually, I think it was, I can't remember which state representative, a congressman said this, but Ralph Whitlock, who World War II veteran, in fact, I should just mention, he is in his mid-90s. He served in the Navy in the Pacific Theater, and he has a beautiful voice. He's still taking voice lessons, and he sings with the Parker Chorale. And the Parker Chorale did their Christmas program this weekend. So Friday night, I went out. Ralph asked if I would go out and see the program. And I tell you what, Steve, they did an amazing job. It was just really awesome. But Ralph Whitlock had given me this quote that power does not, it's not, power does not corrupt the man, it reveals the man, or something along that line. And, you see that. When people get a little bit of power, how they use it, it really reveals what they have on the inside. So I think that's very related to this quote by Dr. Laura, the people and circumstances around me do not make me what I am, they reveal who I am. And every day we want to strive for excellence. We want to strive to be able to live with our family, our neighbors, our colleagues, peacefully and joyfully. So on that, I have three funnies for you. Steve, are you ready?
Okay, now you use the word funnies. I'd better laugh.
Well, let's see. Okay, number one. Wise men talk because they have something to say. Fools talk because they have to say something. Maybe that's more wise than funny, huh?
I had a math teacher in junior high. She had these signs hanging all around the room. Good sayings like this, and one of them that has never left me is better to be thought stupid than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Although on the other hand, you and I talk every morning for an hour. So what does that say for us, huh?
It's a challenge.
That it is. Number two, they said we should all pay our taxes with a smile. I tried, but they wanted cash.
Okay, that's good.
and I was trying to find also kind of some, therapist kind of, because of Dr. Laura. So I love this last one. A man walks into a bookstore and asks the clerk if she could tell him where the self-help area is. She replied, "Of course I can, but that would defeat the purpose, wouldn't it?"
Okay. I do like that one.
You like that one? Okay.
Yeah, that's my kind of humor.
Okay. Most of you may know by now that I am truly an entrepreneur in as much as I purchase the airtime for both of my shows. And so I really appreciate my sponsors. And one of them, Hooters Restaurants, they're doing something really neat. They also own Little Richie's New York Pizzeria stores. And they are doing a program, and it goes through this weekend. And it's a charity. It's Bikes for Tykes, and they're providing helmets and bicycles for local children who've been abused, neglected, or at risk for abuse or to be neglected. It's a really great cause. All of the money, there's nothing goes to administration. It all goes to the kids. And so if you would like to help them out, you can email me, kim@kimmunson.com. I'll get you connected, or you can stop by one of their Hooters restaurants. You can make a donation. They also could use some things for their silent auction. But I just wanted to make sure that you knew about that, because I think that's really wonderful that they're doing that. Another thing, the website is up and going 1 month from yesterday. The new legislative session starts in 2020. I know we're thinking about Christmas and New Year's, but on January 8th, those legislators are going to be back down at the Capitol seeing what they can do. And so we are organizing our Stand for Colorado Rally 2020. It'll be at 11 o'clock on January 8th on the west steps of the Capitol. So make sure that you get your mittens and your hat and your coat on, and you need to show up. And so you can go to standforcolorado.com, and we will be announcing the speakers here within the next couple of days. And it's going to be a very important event, and we'd really encourage you to do that. And then also in January, on January 13th, 5 to 8 p.m., Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice will be presenting The Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. That's going to be part of our salon series down at Water's Edge Winery. And again, if you are interested in that, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and we'll get you some more information on that. So that's an awful lot of things we have going on, Steve. So let's jump into some headlines here. I think one of the most important ones that I wanted to talk about, let me find it here. This is on the national level. This is absolutely astonishing what Adam Schiff, congressman from California, has done regarding these impeachment proceedings. This is from Fox News. House Intelligence Committee Ranking Member Devin Nunes, Republican from California, said Saturday that he would be pursuing legal action after his phone records were exposed in the release of the committee's impeachment inquiry report. On Tuesday, the committee voted to adopt and issue the 300-page report on the findings from the panel's impeachment inquiry, accusing President Trump of misusing his office to seek foreign help in the 2020 presidential race. The report included records of calls from Nunes, presidential lawyers Rudy Giuliani and Jake Sekulow, journalist John Solomon, Fox News host Sean Hannity, Giuliani connection Lev Parnas, and other White House associates. Appearing on Fox and Friends this weekend, Nunes said he's been under fire for 3 years because Republicans continue to expose the corruption, citing Democrats unmasking Trump transition officials and funding the dossier to obtain a FISA warrant on Carter Page. And then, of course, over the 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, I think they were embarrassed by their lack of evidence that they were able to present through the hearings. So what happened is, the Friday before Thanksgiving, this fake news story drops about me supposedly being in Vienna. And then when we get back from Thanksgiving, and lo and behold, my name along with one of my current staff people and a former staff person, all of a sudden, our civil liberties are violated because our phone records show up in this report. Steve, this is absolutely terrifying. And, you know, this is something, you know, the radical activist socialists that have taken over the narrative in education, in media, in religion, across the spectrum, they pull out the Constitution when it's convenient for them. I mean, we saw Nancy Pelosi. We've seen Schiff. We've seen, those three professors that testified last week at the hearing at the Judicial Committee. They pull it out when it's convenient, but yet they trash it. They've been trashing the Constitution for all these years, saying it was just a whole bunch of old white guys that wrote it. Well, those old white guys said that there is big danger in unlawful search and seizure, that there needs to be warrants to, access the personal information of people. And what Adam Schiff has done here in unmasking this and releasing these phone records to make implications on things, to make implications that people are connected, there's something really wrong about that, Steve.
Well, continue what we were talking about a little bit earlier in terms of where it came from and how they made all this happen.
Well, Patty, I get this text message from Patty, our researcher, early this morning, and she said, it's important to note that CNN is owned by AT&T, and AT&T was one of the companies that released these phone records without a warrant. So a government official goes to a corporation and says, hey, we want this information. And without a warrant, they give it to Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff then releases it. And then they've got CNN all the time over here trashing Trump, and putting out things that are not true. And it's just very interesting, this connection. But I don't think radical activists are going to care about this right now because it is doing their bidding. But everybody else, the other 85% of the country, no matter if you're a blue dog Democrat, you're unaffiliated, Republican, conservative, whatever it is, we should be shaking in our boots on this, that we have a government that would actually do this, and that AT&T would actually give up those records without a warrant. Final thought on that, Steve, and then we'll go to break.
Well, I guess the word is credibility. After, if this ever blows over, what's next for Adam Schiff? But then again, you scratch your head and said, why? He's going to be up. He's just a member of the House of Representatives, so he'll be running for re-election too in 2020. And will his jurisdiction? Will his his constituents, will they put him back in again? What does it say at the highest level?
Well, I think a lot of people are not paying attention. And, so hopefully, the district that he's in California will not reelect him. But even if he is not reelected, this whole deep state thing, they'll make sure that he's taken care of. He'll get some job someplace, a six-figure job for sure. He will be taken care of even if he does not win re-election, because he is doing the bidding that they want him to do. It's really disturbing.
Well, I kind of have a connection thought to that, but we probably ought to do it on the other side of break. Something I found on Fox News.
Okay, let's go to break. When we come back, Steve has a cliffhanger for you. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Before we went to break, we were talking about the fact that Adam Schiff, congressman from California, had gotten phone records of his political enemies, wouldn't you say? Isn't this what they're accusing Trump of doing, is using his power against a political opponent? And quite frankly, if the political opponent is the vice president of the United States, and that particular opponent and his son are raking in money from another country, and there's $5 billion missing, I think the president has a responsibility to check that out. And that's what this whole Ukraine phone call impeachment thing is all about. But over here, we've got Adam Schiff, who's gone to AT&T and asked for phone records. They give them to him without a warrant, and then Schiff publishes these phone records in a report. What was your thought, Steve?
Well, again, the connections, the behind the scenes things that are going on to build these false narratives, and you know, it trickles down. There's another story here waiting for us whenever you want to go to it, regarding a group here locally called the
Sunrise Movement
doing the same thing. So I don't know. Before we go to that, I check in with Fox News every morning just to look at what's, you know, the big things that are up there. And I found this opinion piece by one of the writers. Her name is Liz Peek. That's P-E-E-K. Now, we don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I would encourage people to go to Fox News and read this piece. And it's basically on saying, what have the Democrats done to further the chances of Trump being reelected in 2020? And in her mind, they're in the middle of doing him a great service. I'll just read a quick quote here. The push to impeach is driven by sore losers of 2016, by a party and their media enablers who are terrified that the humiliation of 2016 will be visited upon them again in 2020. Voters get that, which is why the polling on impeachment has moved against the Democrats. Pelosi's party has no answer and no candidate with a plausible alternative to becoming to a booming economy that has brought jobs, higher incomes, and hope to millions of Americans. So again, her thought is that they think they're grandstanding here and they're going to do something great. It all comes back down to Representative Al Green from Texas, who said, "I fear if we don't impeach this guy, he's going to get reelected."
And you know what? Everyday hardworking people have to say, "Why don't the Democrats come and unite? Let's come back and go to work together." With all of the people standing in his way, it's amazing what has been accomplished by President Trump. Just think if we united and we started to work together, Steve.
I think that's also part of Liz Peek's article there that she wrote, in terms of what has been going on for the last 3 years and what has not been going on. And she suggests, you know, possibly a, a major fix to health care and, you know, right. those types of things. All the stuff that did not happen.
Well, they're over here focused on something else. So I know we've got such a jam-packed show today, and we're getting kind of jammed up on everything. But we did want to make sure what Steve had referenced. This is from CPR. Climate activists used disinformation and imitated the city of Denver to falsely report a climate emergency. Members of the youth-led climate activist group Sunrise Movement distributed a fake letter to attendees at the start of the December 5th Sustainable Denver Summit. The letter appeared to be on city letterhead, but was actually written by the Sunrise Movement, who are known for using unusual tactics to make their point. The disinformation campaign also played out on Twitter as the event got started and Mayor Michael Hancock took the stage. Sunrise Movement tweeted out the letter. The group meant to pressure the city to declare a climate emergency and shame them for allowing an oil company to sponsor the sustainability conference. First of all, you must realize that there's a lot of taxpayer dollars that were being paid for this sustainability conference if the city of Denver was putting it on. But Steve, you and I are both very troubled that that there was, I mean, really, it's a lie. It's misinformation. And it goes back to what we say at the beginning of the show every day, and that is, if something is a good idea, then you don't have to force it. If something is a good idea, you don't have to lie about it. If something is a really good idea, it should be able to stand to the scrutiny in the battle of ideas. Final thought, and then we'll go to Jason here in just a moment.
Just ask yourself, though, the CPR, Colorado Public Radio report, uses the term youth-led climate activity group. Where did they get the idea to create a false narrative? Where did that notion come to?
Well, and whatever happened to character? Whatever happened to the idea that people try to live honestly, and that if in fact they're going to, put something out there? What about, you know, journalists? Where are the journalists on this? You know, I think that we're going to have to start to get more time into this, because I think I'd like to hear what Mayor Hancock has to say about this as well. And I think that it is, CPR, which is Colorado Public Radio, reported on it, and that is great. But that brings up one other thing. CPR also gets tax dollars to for their journalistic intent. And I really do not think that government should be paying for the media, because sometimes stories do get squashed, or there may be a particular bent on that. And so I really think that, again, like NPR, CPR, from a financial standpoint, they need to be competing in the battle of ideas just like everybody else.
Agreed. And any great follow-up journalism would be to rush in there and get Hancock's opinion about what just happened to him and his city.
Yeah. And so with that, do we have Jason yet?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Jason McBride, how are you on Monday morning, this Monday morning?
Fabulous. How about you, Kim?
I'm doing just fine. My gosh, there's so much going on, but something amazing happened just within the last few days, right?
Well, Friday, right at the minute that I went off the air with you, we had another blowout jobs report. We added 266,000 jobs in the month of November. I think the estimate was for like 180 or something, so it blew the estimate out of the water, Kim. The labor participation rate went down just by 0.1%, and so the unemployment rate is now 3.5%, and I can't remember in my mind the last time we were anywhere close to this low on the unemployment rate.
Well, and you know what's so amazing about this is, you know, the radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party, you know, they try to make it look like Donald Trump is racist and bigoted and all these things. But when you're talking about these jobs, you know, that's across the spectrum. No matter what your descriptor is, you know, people are doing better. And that's why I think the Democrats are doing this whole impeachment thing, is because you know, I think they're concerned that if they don't, as Steve said, Representative Green from Texas says, if we don't impeach him, he'll get reelected, because people care about their own personal economy.
Well, they certainly do. And, you know, they try, as you guys say, to tamp down the good news as much as possible. One thing you haven't heard anything about, I'll bet you, is that the August report which came in at 130 initially, has been revised up to 219,000. And the September report, which came in at 136, has been revised up to 193.
Oh, my gosh.
Even those strong reports got revised higher, and then at the current totals right now, October and November numbers are just preliminary, but we're at almost 7.2 million new jobs added since Trump came into office.
Boy, that's astounding. 7.2 million jobs. The things that that does for families is absolutely astonishing. And so let's have more of that. One of the most compassionate things the one person can do, give another, is a job. So Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thanks so much. Give you guys a call over there. Natalie will be at the board at 7:30. That number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And check out airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. Jason, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show.
Thanks so much, and we'll be right back with Dr. Laura.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Laura is the face in the misty light.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's KimMunson.com, spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Dr. Laura Schlesinger. You know her. She's just a great voice for reason, a great voice for helping us live better lives. And she has a new book out. It's Love and Life. It's tough love advice on dating, marriage, child rearing, values, faith, and resilience. Dr. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
You pretty much cover life in this new book, don't you? Love and Life. Why did you write the book, Dr. Laura?
Well, I have written 12 New York Times bestsellers in the past. The last one was 10 years ago, and I thought it's time to sort of refresh a lot of the ideas, but each book was its own concept, like the proper care and feeding of husbands. So I wanted to do something which covered a range of things so it could touch everybody, and there are things to think about, whether or not you think you should be thinking about it. You probably should. And so in reading the book, it'll stimulate a lot of thought, a lot of choices that might be made better, and lots of conversations with people who matter in your life.
And so it's been 10 years since you've written your last book. In a way, there's a lot that has changed within the landscape of things that people are facing. Probably in some ways they're the same, but in some ways they seem different. What's your comments on that?
That's a good point. Things are different. Times are different. I mean, every generation of kids says that to their parents. But in reality, morals, values, principles, and ethics and what they're based on is continuous forever. It's eternal. The kinds of needs and fears and concerns and wants and confusions that people have, that's universal and infinite. So the core of being a human being and interacting with other people and trying to make a life meaningful and happy, none of that has changed. However, what's bad is that the moral framework around us has been disintegrating, so that I get, for example, young men and young women, amazingly huge audience of younger men and young women who don't have, as they used to say, a moral compass. They have not been brought up by families that, let's just say marriage, divorce, shacking up, babies out of wedlock, this, that, and the other thing, drug addiction, alcoholism. There's just so much chaos in families that we don't really know where to go and what to do. And so they call me, and I give them the rationale for a moral idea. And because kids kind of think always, I mean, I'm sure you and I did when we were in our early 20s, that's just rules that cut into our fun.
Right.
I give them a perspective to show that it's really a safety net so that we have less regrets, less pain.
You know, something that is different now than, say, from 10 years ago is, a lot of our college students, instead of kind of the moral framework that you have mentioned, they're now talking more about consent. And consent across, with a bunch of different people, I think ultimately isn't good for the human being. What's your comments on that?
We called it promiscuity, and that's kind of a desperation behavior to try to feel connected with no real connection. And we have, since the feminists got all excited and left the field of what feminism was supposed to be, respect for women, they went in the other direction, telling women that whatever they do with their bodies, their souls, abortions, all of this is perfectly okay. Promiscuity is perfectly okay. This is good. It's going to make you happy. And yet the suicide rate of teenagers and young people has skyrocketed. The drug use and abuse of teenagers and young adults has skyrocketed. So obviously the framework of anything you say yes to is going to be good for you is not true.
Well, and during the Thanksgiving season, we did a variety of shows on gratitude. And also within that, delayed gratification. And one of the themes that I'm hearing is that delaying gratification, and it could be financially or in other aspects of your life, actually sets a human being up for success. So there's got to be a difference between delayed gratification and this whole consent thing that we are seeing being pushed on our kids, not only on college campuses, but also in K through 12. I mean, they're starting it very early out here in Colorado.
Well, I've been telling people for years to take their kids out of public schools because they're indoctrination places. They're not education places anymore. And it's kind of horrifying what they're teaching. To me, it's child abuse, what they're doing to kids in public schools. It's mental, emotional, psychological child abuse. So I think it's very important that we agree that we have a responsibility to teach children how to be productive and successful. And the way to do that is to build. And to build, you have to invest in yourself. And you can't have a cookie every day just because you woke up. You actually have to earn the cookies. And I tell families all the time, stop giving your kids stuff. Have them earn it. I mean, how much more will they appreciate the whatever if they had to work 2 months to get to it? It's going to be more meaningful to them. But parents are busy, 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 don't want conflict, don't want to get involved. They've gotten very lazy into their own things. And the parenting has really much collapsed in our country. And that's why we have so many snowflakes, because that's what I call them. Adults who can't handle life, that's just a snowflake.
Well, and I guess even Home Depot was offering classes on adulting. And, I am scratching my head, Dr. Laura. How on earth can we spend, so much on education in America, and then we have kids that are graduating that don't have the skills to run a household, to do the books for a business, just those basic things, and then continue to push towards college educations? And I don't think a college education is cracked up to be what it used to be.
Well, I agree, and I just this morning read a report, and every year They take almost 1 million children from all over the world and compare them math, science, the basics to be able to function at a very high level. And China, number one. Not America, China. And don't ask about how much money they're spending for students, because that would be a really ridiculous question when you think of China.
Well, yeah.
But we waste tons of money and nothing is done, because if you look at what actually happens in the classroom with weird math that doesn't teach you how to really do math, courses on things that don't matter, you know, this study, that study, the other study, I mean, everybody is broken down to just some angry group, and they have studies about it, so you can stay angry instead of learning how to function. So the number one smartest, most productive kids in the world, China. Now, that means that as the next 20 years roll by, they're going to be more competent in math and science than anybody else in the world. Now, what does that bode for our future as a strong economy? I don't know.
Well, and you know, Dr. Laura, I don't really think that we can blame our students on this. I think that the responsibility, you know, is my generation. We have a responsibility to get this thing turned around. How can we do that?
How old are you?
I'm not. I never tell anybody how old I am.
I'm 72. How old are you? Come on.
I actually never tell. So, I don't know.
No. Why?
I have always kept it a secret. I have always, I've never even put it on our Christmas cards. I normally put everybody's age in the family.
Well, when you say our generation, I want to know who you're talking about.
I was around during Roe v. Wade. Let me just put it that way.
Okay, then we're close in age, mm-hmm. And I'm proud I'm still alive and functioning very well, so I don't see, you know, hiding your age. But okay, everybody has their thing. So, no, I don't blame the baby boomers. It's the generation that came right after us. They just tanked the values and just got into narcissistic behavior. And, you know, you can shack up. You don't need to get married. You can make babies out of wedlock. It's okay. You have 3 pregnancies you don't want. Just have them scrubbed into a sink. Sell the body parts. Planned Parenthood. So it's the generation after us that just tanked in having anything to value, because my generation, our generation, maybe, I think it's the last bastion of the value.
Okay, I'm going to push back just a little bit on that, because the baby boomers, you know, another show that I do is America's Veteran Stories. I've interviewed over 120 World War II veterans. You know, and
wow.
these guys came back, and I mean, they'd seen really tough stuff. They came back, they came back and went to work, they got married, they had children, and they wanted a better life for their kids, which is, you know, us, the baby boomers. And the baby boomers, in a way, I mean, we've kind of had it all. And it was during our generation that we have the 60s and the 70s, where things started to kind of fall off the rails as far as, you know, it wasn't cool to be square, if you, you know.
Yeah, but the research showed as soon as we got to 40, that changed.
Well, generally, probably, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, I know it was the craziness, but when we got in our 40s, we got very pragmatic, as most people do when they mature. But I think it's what came after us that really was the big tanking. I agree that there was some tickling. I know with the 70s, you had the Vietnam War and all of that. But still, we were still going to school, graduate school. We were still working hard. I was on a campus, sort of Berkeley of the East. You couldn't help but smoke marijuana if you walked down a hall. So I get all that was going on, but they all graduated and got jobs. It's changed. So the young people who are in their 20s and 30s are really doing very poorly.
And I'm not sure that they want to be doing poorly, Dr. Laura. I mean, what do you see on that? I actually see a lot of hope with some of our young people. I see some creativity, some innovation, but I see that also we've got policies and things that can stand in their way, this college debt that they're taking on. There's a lot of different things that are you know, that they're concerned about. So what's your thoughts on that, Dr. Laura?
on, well, I can't lump every, you know, millions of people at a certain age range, but talking to people on the air as I have, it's easy for people to say they want things. If they're willing to commit to what it takes to get the things, they'll get the things. So it takes a tremendous amount of commitment. And you don't have to accrue large loans from colleges. Find a college that doesn't have that. When I went to school, I got some awards and scholarships. I worked in the chemistry library, the biology department. I mean, you put in the effort, and you make things happen. And there are people who have lived on the streets who are getting degrees. They work hard. And I kind of that's why I talked about resilience in the book. I really admire people who don't sit there and go, circumstances are really bad, because there's been no time in the history of humans walking around on two legs that things haven't been bad. The bubonic plague sort of took out a lot of people who then couldn't go to school. So resilience and persistence and commitment make the difference between somebody who's going to be successful and somebody who's going to whine about circumstance.
Oh, wow. That's for sure. Dr. Laura, let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. It's the Kim Munson Show. I'm talking with Dr. Laura regarding her new book, Love and Life. And she has such a strong sense of ethics and accountability and personal responsibility. And these are the things that set people up for successful lives. So let's go to break. We'll be right back with Dr. Laura.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Tell Laura I love her. Tell Laura I need her.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Dr. Laura Schlesinger. I have to tell you, Dr. Laura, when I was talking with one of my sponsors and said that we were going to be doing this interview, he said, I love her. And so just thrilled to get to do this. Your new book, Love and Life. You've not written a book in 10 years. You've had all these New York Times bestsellers. This is going to be another one of them. But you said tough love advice on dating and marriage and child rearing, values and faith and resilience. You know, just a question. Let's go a little bit on dating. I'd had a young millennial that has been writing some different research papers, and he said that it's difficult out there to be in this consent culture, because if a girl says no over here, there are several girls that would say yes. And so it makes it difficult for the girl that says no or the young man that says no. How would you address that?
Well, I address that every day on the show. I get girls who call and say, you know, guys think they're going to get some. When they don't meet. And I said, well, those were guys who wanted not to pay a whore. They'll find a whore. There are plenty of girls out there who just want to hook up and think that somehow makes them more special. I tell women, you must think, if I do this, is this what a lady would do? So you have to decide what the sex is for. And I made a joke one time. I said, I'm totally against sex. I'm totally for making love. And if you just race around and have sex, it's going to make it harder for you to transition into making love because you have made sex a mechanical experience, which is self-centered. Because when there's no love involved, really, it's the conquest and the orgasm. It has nothing to do with anything else. And you get these young women, oh, I got pregnant and he walked away. Well, he didn't have sex with you to make a baby. He had sex with you to get off. So it's what you allow yourself to be presented as. And yes, younger men have been trained now by the feminist-trained women that they can get something for nothing, quite literally. Well, then you have to wait older in your early 30s when some of these guys mature and realize this is old. I think I'd like to have a nice woman and settle down. And then they say, well, how many men have you had? Oh, 15, 20. That's not the woman they want to marry. So the whole thing flips. So you're in your 20s. I suggest that you maintain your values so that you never have regret towards yourself and embarrassed and shameful having to tell your kids something, and wait for the men to mature. Get somebody a little older.
Well, and let's,
in 10 years range is good.
Well, and let's talk about what this does to the young man as well. And also, you know, to... I mean, I think it actually hurts our young men also, because I think ultimately humans ultimately want to be connected. They want to feel love. They want to be in relationships. So I think that this consent hookup culture not only hurts our young women, but also hurts our young men.
Well, yeah, because it takes them away from somebody to really love them.
Okay, so actually probably advice for both young men and young women, as quote-unquote stodgy as it is that, you know, stay away from the hookup and the consent culture and realize
that... Well, young men are not going to stay away from it. They're getting something for nothing, and that's the peak of their sexual hormonal activity. So what's available, they'll do. It's always taken women to civilize men. So if women give up being civilized, the men are just going to have a good time. And it'll be older when they have regrets and illegitimate kids from these women, or, you know, they all had abortions and now they feel bad that their kids that they could have had are dead. So there's a lot of pain that goes with that, but nobody's teaching the men that to wait means they'll have something special later. And again, you talked about postponing. This is not a postponement culture, is it?
No, it's not. It is a... It's an instant gratification culture that we have, and I don't think that it's helping us at all. And we, in the first segment we talked to, or the other segment we talked about education, and education I think used to be to help, you know, first of all, have the tools to be successful, so to be able to read and write and do arithmetic so that you could, you know, run a household, run a business. But also, I think that it was to answer the big questions of life, of why are we here? What are we to do? You know, what's our purpose here? And I think that we've lost that in education as well. Dr. Laura, I'm sure that you address this in your new book, Love and Life.
Yes, I think so a little differently about that. I don't think that's the point of the schools. I think that's the point of family and religion.
Okay, and...
All of that, that's where the family comes in and teaches the kids what's meaningful in life. School is math, science, history, et cetera, et cetera. I really don't want the school, I don't want some flea-bitten teacher telling my kids the purpose of life.
Okay, good point. You know, I think that's a really good point. And I hadn't really thought about that. You know, in the battle of ideas, that really we need to get back to, you know, the families being able to teach that. So I want to go over.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I just said that.
Okay. Let's move over to another thing that you address in your book, Love and Life, Tough Love Advice on Dating, Marriage, Child Rearing, Values, Faith, and Resilience by Dr. Laura, your next New York Times bestseller, Standing Up for Faith and Beliefs. That can be pretty tough in today's culture. What do you, we don't want to give everything away in the book, but what would you say about that?
pretty tough is sugarcoating it. It is dangerous. And dangerous never stopped me, but dangerous does stop most people. But then again, I've got lots of years under my belt of dealing with this and learning resilience through attacks and what have you. Absolutely. Anytime you stand up for something, there's going to be a defensive, hostile, especially these days, very mean and cruel reaction. So I think it's scariest now than it ever has been in our history in this country. I mean, in China, you know, you heard what happened. I mean, sorry, in Iraq, you heard what happened 2 days ago. They just mowed down 200 of their people who are standing for a different value, and they just killed them. That doesn't happen here. But it happens to one's character, character and ability to work. We eliminate people who don't agree with us. So it takes a lot of courage. And I was watching a piece last night about one young man who was out there in Iran and videotaping himself, knowing that he was probably going to get killed. And at the end of the videotape, he gets shot in the head by one of the Iraqi cops. So, I mean, Iranian cops. I've got to keep my country straight here. And his sister was on TV talking about this. It was all she could do to keep from crying. But one of his last things was for her to be strong and for mom to come out and march with the people. There were thousands of people. So it takes an awful lot of courage. And our history and our books are sprinkled with people of courage to give us role models. And yeah, sometimes it's a very big sacrifice. I mean, it was a big sacrifice forming this country when we split from England. So when there is something to stand up for, you have to realize there will be consequences, and nobility is what is demonstrated at those points. And I admire people who are.
Well, and that is inherent, I think, in the American idea. You've mentioned our history books. I mean, you go back to the founding of this country. And, you know, they signed the Declaration of Independence, where they pledged their life, their liberty, and their sacred honor to sign that document while they heard the British cannons just down the river. And So there's something really inherently American about, and I guess I'm claiming it for America. I know that across the spectrum, I mean, you see the kids in Hong Kong, you see the young people in Iran. But yet, on the other hand, they're reading the Declaration of Independence in Hong Kong because these are people that realize that there was an idea. It was the American idea of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that was precious and should be passed on to the next generation. So we're about out of time, Dr. Laura. Give us a couple of your final thoughts on that, and you can comment on the American founding if you want.
Well, I just wanted to end on a downer.
Oh, thanks.
My downer is that if those founding fathers were alive today watching Washington, D.C., I think they'd all drop their eyes, turn, and walk away.
Well, and that's why on our watch, we have to be vigilant. And when you mention in your book about standing up for faith and beliefs, we have to have courage. I think you mentioned the word courage.
And, courage, yeah.
And courage is a really important thing to do. And I'm not sure that we even gain courage. I think courage sometimes happens when you're presented with something. Your final thought, Dr. Laura.
Well, when we were young, we read lots of books. People are not reading books anymore. They're playing video games. But we read lots of books about people who demonstrated courage, and that gave us, that influenced us. We're not influencing our kids with the concept of courage these days. You don't see that at all. You see conforming, and if you don't conform, you'll be destroyed. So it's changed dramatically. I'm truthfully a bit scared for our country.
Well, there is a lot to be concerned about, and that's why I'm really pleased that you have written this book, that you've come out after 10 years and written this new book, Love and Life, Tough Love Advice on Dating, Marriage, Child Rearing, Values, Faith, and Resilience, because, Dr. Laura, I think people are craving wisdom on these issues, and you addressing this in this book is so important.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, thank you so much. And people can find the book. They can go to their favorite place to buy a book. And I would highly recommend it. And that is Love and Life, by Dr. Laura. So, Dr. Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Okay, so our quote for today is from Dr. Laura. She says, don't worry so much about your self-esteem. Worry more about your character. Integrity is its own reward. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.